back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I think I've probably watched Lindy coach about as many games as I've actually played. Well, more than the amount of games I played for the Sabres. So he was my favorite coach growing up. That was the teams that I watched and sat on the couch and watched with my dad, and to see what he was able to do with those teams was really cool. It was really special. I got to actually meet him for the first time this year. I didn't even think about that. Lindy's a great coach, a really smart guy. I've always been a huge fan of his. I have no idea. That'd be pretty cool, though. Dream come true for me.
That was Alex Tuch at Locker Cleanout, and obviously long before the Sabres made the announcement that Lindy Ruff will, in fact, be the head coach moving forward. As they made that announcement yesterday, the press conference featuring Lindy and general manager Kevin Adams will come up at the top of the hour, and you've got an extended Sabres Live today here on WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG, as we'll carry the presser, react to it, and obviously, as we continue right now,
Duffer, before we go around the league quickly, Buffalo Sabres X account posted pictures of Alex Tuch. And, you know, where do you want your coach to see you on this April 23rd? If the coach's going to come and meet you, where do you want it to be?
No idea.
Well, it's not the bar. Like, you don't want to meet the coach, like, having a couple of pints at the bar. In the weight room, Alex Tuch is, like, making sure he's in the weight room this morning as the new head coach first makes his appearance. And, hey, coach, see, I'm lifting 600 pounds on the squat right now. I'm ready for next year. So good place to meet the coach for the first time, this morning.
You really want me to say it? It's staged, Marty.
It's staged? Well, if it's staged, good job on Tucky to think about it beforehand and say, I'm going to hang around the weight room for when Lindy comes in.
Not like he didn't know yesterday, like the rest of us, right? Like,
exactly. I would have been in the hot tub. That's where I would have been. Hey, yeah. What's up, coach? I'm enjoying my time in the hot tub.
Yeah. Where would that defenseman from the Rangers have been?
In the tanning bed.
The massage table.
Oh, yeah. Delzato. Yeah. Didn't like that. Although, man, I have so many stories. I'd say tanning bed, because when Phil Esposito took over with the New York Rangers, he took all the exercise bikes out of the room and put two tanning beds and said, guys, look good, feel good, play good. You look a little pale. Make sure you get in the tanning bed and feel better about yourself. So, yeah, there's different coaches and different mentalities, that's for sure.
Wow. So you mentioned Esposito, which, of course, directly or indirectly connects with Gretzky because, of course, Gretz passed Esposito for the goal-scoring mark and the Rangers and the Oilers and the connection. So why don't we start our quick review of last night with the Edmonton Oilers against the LA Kings. Well, we think this was the Kings. It didn't look like the Kings for the better part of the game. Yeah. And if you turned it off early, I applaud you. It was 6-2 in the third period. And yes, there were a couple of late LA goals, but they were insignificant. Now, the reason I'm drawing this Esposito Rangers Gretzky Oilers connection is, what happened in the game last night? Well, Connor McDavid had 5 assists, which was one shy of the NHL record in a playoff game.
Yes.
Who do you believe holds that record? There are two players who share it, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I heard that this morning. One of the name, I would not be able to remember it.
And you heard it this morning? This is not new info. Oh, this sucks.
Didn't the NHL, like, maybe they posted something PR.
Most people don't actually look for facts. They just spew misinformation. So
no, I understand that. But I want to say NHL Radio had a little something about it. So one name I don't know. The other one, I believe, is it Phil?
No, it's Wayne Gretzky. How do you not, after all this time, Marty?
Because I'm a little gun-shy now, because earlier year I answered Wayne Gretzky in one of your questions, and I was wrong. And I said I'm not always going to answer Wayne Gretzky.
Here's my hint. For a better life moving forward between now and mid-June, always answer Wayne. Okay,
Gretzky.
Like, this time of year, you're not going to escape Wayne being the focal point. So
who's the other guy, though? Because
Mikko Lanninen was playing with the Rangers in the 82 playoffs. He ended up with 7 points that playoff year. 6 of them came in one game against the Philadelphia Flyers, and they were all assists, of course. Gretzky had a 6-assist game as part of a 7-point game against the LA Kings in 1987, which is significant because it was at that time the Kings realized maybe we should go and get this Gretzky guy. And it wasn't too long after that they indeed found their way to landing.
He thought, you know, anyway, if we get Gretzky, he's going to score a point in every home game in his first season and playoffs with the LA Kings, and we'll sell a lot of tickets.
And something that Nathan MacKinnon won't be able to match, and he hasn't yet. Connor McDavid, 5 points.
Yes.
Evan Bouchard, 4 assists. Zach Hyman, his 5th career hat trick this year. 3 goals, 1 assist, and in total now, regular season and playoffs, he's at 57 goals. What happened to the LA Kings and what is going to happen moving forward? Because I don't even think I would start to blame Cam Talbot in this
one.
Like the pace was so Edmonton's game. Like I get it, score effect, it ends up 45-37 shots on goal, total Wild West 1980s era of, you know, first round kind of game, but very, very, very disappointing showing, I thought, by the LA Kings.
So the Oilers told the Kings, you don't deserve to be on the same ice as we are. And that showed in the first period. The expected goals in the first period were 2.25 for the Edmonton Oilers to a mere 0.2 for the LA Kings. The Oilers dominated the first period. Now, when it got 4-0, the Kings all of a sudden got a little bit of a bump in the numbers. They created a few chances and whatnot. The game was over. And then they got in undisciplined. And then the Oilers ended up going, 3-for-4 on the power play just to say, hey, you know what? Like, if you're going to take penalties, we're going to score. And if you don't take penalties, we're just going to dominate you at 5-on-5. It was unbelievable. And the biggest number, and this is the one I'm going to stump you on, Duffer. How many hats do you think were thrown on the ice when Zach Hyman scored his hat trick?
Is there an official count or is this just a silly question?
There was an official count. I don't have the...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Official number in front of you because I heard that it was an official count.
Okay. 5,342.
Well, you gone over, so pump, pump, ba-dum, like the Price is Right. And it was 1,104, I believe. 1,104 hats were thrown on the ice, something to that effect.
I'd love to know what the proper ratio or expected ratio is, hats to actual people in attendance.
Well, the actual question to Zach Hyman after the game is, have you ever seen so many hats on the ice after a hat trick? And he said, no, this was the most hat he had ever seen.
What a generic sports question.
I know.
That is.
Like, okay, come on, right?
No,
but at the same time,
I've never seen that many hats.
Yeah, I've never seen that. Listen, everything has been seen. Everything has happened at least once. So don't start a question by, I've never seen this. That doesn't work.
Okay, well, we're trending towards talking about a game that had one team thoroughly embarrassed in the fewest number of shots. But I'll tell you what, Vegas did pretty well scoring on 4 of their 15 shots on Jake Gottinger last night. And, of course, the names everybody was talking about going...
There's Hanifin. Long wrist.
Front and center for Vegas. Mark Stone scores. Hurdle scores. Hanifin has 2 assists.
Yeah.
And your boy was not particularly good, but Logan Thompson got the win.
Yeah, Logan Thompson was not great, but Jake Ottinger was worse, and that's the problem. I understand that he gave up 4 goals on 15 shots. When you look at the expected goals at the end of the night, actually, the Dallas Stars had the better of the number when you look at how that worked. 3.5 to just 3 for the Vegas Golden Knights. But, if you don't get goaltending, especially in game one of the playoffs, like Jake Ottinger didn't perform well, you're not going to win, and Vegas... I mean, what are they at? 90-some million on their cap right now? Like, if there was a salary cap.
Less than Toronto.
Less than Toronto. You're right. But actual players playing is pretty high. But, hey, They worked it out again, and Mark Stone comes in and scores the first goal early in the game, too. I'm like, oh, man. Like, if you're Mark Stone, just wait a little later in the game so you don't – the fix isn't in. But it really felt like that when he got the first goal of the game.
Loved it and hated the goal Thompson gave up late to Marchman. Enough that Dallas had – I mean, my goodness, from long range. I don't even know how you would describe it, Marty. Like, why would Thompson – attempt to stop it the way he tried to?
Well, he kind of like moved away. It's almost like weird. Instead of saying like, you know what, I'm going to get my body, I'm going to move away and then turn myself sideways and catch. Charlie Lindgren does that a lot. Me and Jacob were talking about it, how he catches the puck almost like he wants to scoop it and have it in the webbing instead of closing it. Like, play a little baseball, play a little catcher, get in front of it, boom, catch it, no worries. That was a bad goal. There's still eight and a quarter left in the game. A lot of time for Dallas to come back and all of a sudden get like something going.
You think Thompson will play the whole series?
I think he will play unless there's a Aiden Hill was just not good at all in the second half when he returned from injury. So I think it's Thompson's net. And unlike Boston, let's not have a rotation in Vegas.
Well, the rotation didn't hurt Boston. We'll get to that in a minute. But yeah. 30-15 were the shots in favor of Dallas. That's right. 30-15.
Yeah.
And yet the team on the wrong end of it won. Now, we do have enough time between now and Lindy's presser at the top of the hour to show you all of the Islanders' shots on goal. But we're going to spare you the details and just look at the fact that they blew a 3-0 lead. And the shot attempts in the game were 110 for Carolina. 110, which is almost twice as many as most teams get in a game. to 28.
It's just awful. It's awful.
How did the Patrick Islanders have a 3-0 lead? We know how they blew the 3-0 lead, clearly. But how did they have a 3-0 lead?
Oh, they got a 3-0 lead. They got a power play in the second that made it 3-0. And that was Anders Lee scoring. And I look good. Like, Freddie Anderson was a little shaky early, but it's not an easy game when you don't see anything and the pressure keeps mounting. You're like, I got to make the next save. And then it goes in. I got to make the next save. And then it goes in. But this was a domination by the Hurricanes. So how about this one, Duffer? Again, sitting on the couch with Jacob last night, we're watching that game. When Carolina tied it at 3, they pulled a goalie, 3-2. There was 2.5 minutes left. Just over 2 minutes left, I believe, is when they tied it. Yeah, 2:06 left. Martinook scored to make it 3-3. And ties it. 2:15 left. And the puck drops, and Jacob looks over to me. He says, hey, you know what? I bet you Carolina wins this one in regulation. They could really win in because the domination was so on. And it was a mere 9 seconds later that Martinook scored. And so it leads Jacob to say, I have never seen anything like this. Like, I'm like, wait a second.
I have.
Because I remember 2009, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Cardiac Canes in game 4 beat Marty Brodeur and the Devils 2 goals in the last minute and a half to win in regulation. And then in game 7, it was Jussi Jokinen with 0.2 seconds to steal the game in regulation. I'm like, the Cardiac Canes were labeled that year in 2009. And it happens. It doesn't happen often, but Carolina dominated the second half of the game. They've been doing that a lot lately. That's how they came back in game 1. That's how they've won some games down the stretch in the regular season. They did it again in game 2.
Yes, and we've already now seen on the first few nights, we've seen 12 seconds where Vancouver was able to flip the game against the Predators, and we've seen 9 seconds, which was obviously Carolina over the Islanders last night, and I gave you the reference point of 2013 just the other day, which was Chicago doing it in 17 to win the Stanley Cup right out from under the nose of the Boston Bruins. So these are important historical notes, and I would suggest the teams pay attention on the shift following a goal. Marty, it's as old as the game itself is.
It's a cliche, and I don't want to talk about it, but pay attention.
Right? Like, oh my gosh, that was a very, very, very poor showing by the Islanders on that goal. And then it was, of course, typical, like, hey, you don't want to give up an empty netter to Jake Ensel?
Work hard.
Like, play better. Like, seriously, He's getting hacked.
Why is Palmieri mad at Jake Guentzel? Why was he mad? He didn't do anything embarrassing. He put the puck in the net.
And he didn't turn around and smirk at him until he took two or three slashes from him.
What is with the frustration? It has to be something else. I thought that was very weird of Kyle Palmieri to just all of a sudden want to unleash and unload on Jake Guentzel because he scored an empty net goal.
Regular listeners to this show will not be surprised at all when I say, no time for the Leafs and Bruins. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.